Verse 30 of John chapter 19. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, or the sour wine is what it was, it's what the soldiers carried, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful, Lord, for this again, another opportunity to minister your word. And Master, we pray that your word would have free course today. We pray that you would help me to recall what I've studied. And we pray, Master, that you would help me to speak that which you intend me to say. And we pray that Jesus would be exalted today and the Holy Spirit would just draw attention as he does to Christ. And Lord, we pray that someone be saved. We pray this message would be used to show someone the way of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, this will conclude. You realize I flopped the seventh and the sixth sin. We've been doing a series for the past 7 weeks on the seven statements of Christ from the cross. And folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't think of a series that I've enjoyed any more dealing with than this series. It has exalted the Master, I believe, to you. And I tell you what, it has really blessed my heart. I hate to see it come to an end, but we're going to end it this morning with perhaps my favorite saying. I mean, I love every statement that he made, but I guess if I had to pick one that I would say would be my favorite, it would be the statement, "It is finished." Oh, it's important for you to be able to know today that it is finished. By the end of this message, you will hear preachers say all the time, I guess I should say good preachers say all the time, that Calvary was a finished work. And you'll understand why that those statements were made. You'll understand the song we sung this morning, "It is finished." It's not about when Jesus comes again. That song, "It is finished," is about the cross. You'll understand that song by the time that we're done with this message today. Oh, I pray that through this great saying, this sixth saying, "It is finished," that you would be made to worship today. See Christ and that great sacrificial death that he gave on Calvary's cross for our sin. Actually, if you would look, I wrote this word down for you. Man, you talk about difficult to pronounce. I have to write it down here so I can pronounce it. Telestai, I believe is how it's said. When Jesus said, "It is finished," if you'd look that up in like an Englishman's Greek dictionary, it would tell you that's one word. We oftentimes preachers will title this the seven words of Christ or the seven sayings of Christ. And sometimes, actually, most of what he said was statements that he made. It wasn't just a word. But this is just a word. Telestai is what Jesus said whenever he came to this sixth saying. This is the statement he made. And it has a lot of rich meaning to it. It was used in a lot of situations. And what I'm going to do today is for a total change, a little bit different than I've ever looked at it in the past. I'm going to show you the situations that this word, telestai, was used in. And when we look at the different situations that this word was used in, you can understand the fullness and the completeness of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, telestai, when he came to the end. Before he died. That's the statement he made. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you some of the ways in which this word was used. All you have to do is look the word "it is finished" up, and it'll give you all these definitions that I'm about to give to you right now. You look it up in a Greek dictionary. You can look it up in different places, but mainly a Greek dictionary or a concordance. You'll see these different words that's translated from this particular Greek word. One Greek word that Jesus used in this text. Number one, the word telestai was used. Listen to me now. It was used whenever a debt was canceled. It was used whenever a debt was canceled. I wrote some things down and printed some things up for you. Whenever a debt was paid, the word telestai was used. If you owed a debt and or maybe you owed a banker a debt, or you owed a merchant a debt, and you went down and you paid that debt, you know what he'd say to you? Telestai. You know what it means, folks? It means paid in full. That's what one definition. I knew I'd get tore up over it. But that's exactly what Jesus was saying. Paid in full. Telestai. Any kind of debt that someone owed, and that debt was paid in full. I've read where on occasions that people would be in the marketplace, and they would go down and they owed a debt and they'd pay it, and they'd run through the marketplace shouting, Telestai! Telestai! What did it mean? Paid in full. That debt is paid in full. And you can imagine the rejoicing of having a debt paid in full, can you not? They found some... I read this in a couple places. They found some old papyri or paper, or they found some old tax receipts. Ancient. They dug up some ancient tax receipts. Isn't that something? And you know what they had across them? To the last die. What did that mean? Paid in full. Oh, think of it now. Jesus, from 9 o'clock in the morning... 3 o'clock in the afternoon, was paying that awesome price to save an old hell-bound sinner like me. And after he'd suffered the equivalent that would took old Jeff an eternity, after he suffered what the equivalent to what it would have took an eternity for me to pay in 6 hours, because he was God. And after the 6 hours had passed, and he realized that payment that we owed was paid in full. He said, Telestai! Paid in full. Oh, God's people say it. If you're here this morning and saved, you could go to the house right now and be blessed just from knowing that fact. Paid in full. Man, I want you to realize I owed a debt that I absolutely couldn't pay myself. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're here and not saved, you owe a debt that you can't pay yourself either. That's why God sent His Son to pay that debt for you. And once it was paid, He shouted, it's finished. Telestai. Paid in full. Now you understand why the writer wrote the song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe, sin and left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I failed to share with the church. I'm thankful for a lot of things this year. Remember we talked about Thanksgiving Wednesday nights. Thanksgiving is a way of life for God's people. It's not something you do one time a year. I'm glad our nation observes that. But that's a way of life for God's people. That's something that we do every day. And it should be a characteristic of God's people. Are you not with me? I asked the people to pick one thing they're especially thankful for, and we just had a marvelous service as I read the ones that people shared. But folks, if I had one thing to share that today that I never shared mine, I don't believe I did. I can't remember. I'm thankful for redemption. That's what I'm thankful for. No matter what comes what may, no matter what I face, you know, circumstances and situations in your life change. That's one thing that never changes. You can be on your deathbed and thankful for redemption. You can be bedfast to where you can't get up and you can be thankful for redemption. Because that's something that doesn't change. And that's something you can always thank God for. In the book of Galatians 3, it's explained to us in verse 10. Let's look at what it says. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that doesn't continue not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I talked about a sin debt a little while ago. The greatest thing you owe is not your house payment or your car payment. The greatest debt you owe, listen to me now, you need to know this, the greatest debt you owe is a sin debt. God's law declares that if you break His law in one point, how many points? One point. It says that you're guilty. Here in this text, it says that if you don't continue in all the things that are written in the book of the law, before you see the Ten Commandments, it says if you don't keep the Ten Commandments, 100%. It says you're guilty in James 2:10, but here it says you're what? Cursed. That even sounds bad. You say, Jeff, are you saying that before you were saved, you was cursed? That's exactly what I'm telling you. I was cursed. Old-timey preachers used to say that before I was saved, I was in the slave house of sin. That's exactly what I was in. My greatest need, my friend, was to be set free from this curse. If you don't mind, I'd like to write that for you best I can. Cursed. Me. The greatest need that I had was to be set free from that curse. Does everybody agree with that? Because, my friend, if I died with that curse hanging over me, I would have spent an eternity in hell. So do you see why the most important thing in the world is to be set free from that curse, to be set free from that sin debt? Oh, there's good news. You know, that's bad news. I want you to know this morning, you need a preacher to tell you that. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, the Bible views you as cursed. Same shape that I was in. You need to be set free from it. I'm going to show you what it means to be redeemed. Show you what it means to be redeemed. Now notice what it says in verse 13. Christ hath done what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a what? Being made a curse for us. So instead of me, let me tell you something. Instead of me being cursed forever, Jesus was cursed instead. He was made a curse for us. Everybody see that? So when He came and He lived that perfect life and He went to the cross of Calvary and He paid that awesome price that you owed, once that price was fully paid to redeem us from our sins, the Master said, Telestai, it's finished. Paid in full. All God's people say. Everybody understand the first point? That's the idea of the word. That's why He used it. Everything that was needed to pay your sin debt, He paid. And you know what happens? The moment you trust Christ, look here. What happens to that curse? It's gone. What happened? Jesus was cursed in my place. That's why I'm not cursed. If you've never trusted Christ, that curse still remains. That's why we sing the song about being redeemed. You know, the children of Israel was in bondage in the land of Egypt. And when they come out, you know what it was said? They were redeemed. They were set free from their bondage by the payment of a price. And that's what Jesus did. And that's why I used this word. Number two. You ready for number two? That was number one. It was used when a debt was canceled. Whenever a debt was canceled, that was the word that was used. They even got tax receipts to prove it. And you can see why Jesus said it. Because that's exactly what He did. Paid it in full. Didn't pay it in half. He didn't pay it in half. You better hope you don't believe that. If He paid it in half, who pays the rest of it? He paid it in full, setting you free from the bondage of that sin debt. Number two, it was used when a servant completed a task. It was used when a servant completed a task. When a task was completed, the servant would come back and say, Telestai. What did it mean? Completed the task. I've completed the work. We do that ourselves. Maybe when you was growing up, your dad sent you out to do something. You went out and you did the work that your dad, you know, your dad always told you to do something, but then he always did what? Checked to make sure that you got done with what you're supposed to do. And what would he say to you? You finished? And you'd say, it is finished. I've completed the task. Well, this is the word when a little boy would come back or a servant would come back and he was given a task to do and he was done with the task that he was given to do. He would say, Tetelestai, it's finished. Done the work that you give me to do. Matthew chapter 1 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, Yeshua. For he shall save his people from their sin. That was his main work. He was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem so that he could live a perfect life, go to a cross, and save his people from their sin. And after that he paid that awesome price, and after that he did everything that was necessary to save you from your sin, he said what? Tetelestai. I've completed the task. The work's done. All that was needed to save you from your sin, all that was needed to redeem you from the curse, all that was needed to save you from hell, and all that was needed to send you to heaven, Jesus did. It's a finished work. He completed the task. There's nothing left for you to complete. There's nothing left for you to do. Salvation in the Scripture is called a gift. Does everybody in the house know that? That is not no deep theological thing, is it? We realize in Romans 6:23 that the gift of God is eternal life. We know that. But a gift, we also know this. It's Christmas time and we're all going to be purchasing gifts. A gift is something that someone else works for. The gift of eternal life was worked for by Jesus Christ. And He bought and paid for it on the cross. And He gives it to you. The work's already been done. You ought to thank God for that too. And that's one idea. When the work was done, the servant would say, Tetelestai, it's completed. The task is done. I want to tell you something this morning. If you want to be saved, if you want to go to be heaven, if you want to go to be in heaven, you've got to trust the finished work of Jesus Christ. That work has already been done. There's far too many people out there today trying to work themselves to heaven. You can't do it. Tetelestai, the servant completed the task 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Oh, God's people said. Task done been done. You know the problem when people was trying to add to a finished work. When he said it is finished, brother, and that meant it was done. It's complete. There's absolutely nothing that you can add to it. Tetelestai. Task is finished. People say, Jeff, do you believe in works for salvation? Yes, I do, but I believe Jesus did them all. That's the difference. The work that was needed to save old Jeff from hell, the work that was needed to send me to heaven, the work that was needed to redeem me, Jesus did. Man, you can't add to that precious work. And people do it all the time. It irritates me to death. And I'll point it out when I have to. And many times I have to. How you fill in this blank this morning? Jesus plus blank equals salvation. Jesus plus blank equals salvation. What you fill in that blank with really determines what you're trusting in. What you fill in that blank with really determines whether you believe Calvary's a finished work or not. Jesus plus your good works equals salvation? That's not all Jesus then, is it? That means Calvary's work wasn't finished yet, was it? You know the only thing you can put in that blank? Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. You can't add to a finished work, my friend. My hope is built this morning on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He completed the task. All that was necessary to send you to heaven, He did. And oh, you need to realize that. There's a lot of people that are miserable today. There are a lot of religious people that are miserable because they feel in their heart that they haven't done enough. The only way you can know that there's enough been done is by trusting Christ. It's finished. Only way. I've come across a lot of miserable people today. And they're religious and they're in churches and man, they've went to the altars and they've come away and they're thinking, boy, I believe that Jesus lived and I believe He died. I know He died for sinners, but what I'm going to do now is I'm going to keep myself saved by my works. If you're keeping yourself saved by your works, you're saving yourself. You need to realize that Jesus did it all. It is everything that was needed in order to save you from your sin, Jesus did. Listen, I've trusted the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm going to heaven. You add baptism, you add your works, you add church membership, you add whatever you want to add in that blank. That draws away from the finished work of the blood. All God's people said. He completed the task. That's why He used this particular word. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, ye are complete in Him. Tell me, buddy, that's the only way you can know you're complete. I've talked to people over the years and they've been in tears and they say, oh, Jeff, I just don't have no peace and I just don't feel like that I've done enough or I don't think I'm good enough and to go to heaven and they're worried to death. And I respond and say, you know, you're not good enough. And you never will be. Never will. And you could never do enough. But Jesus did. And you need to fully trust Him. Fully trust the Messiah. You're complete only in Him. That's the only way you can know you're complete. I'm standing before you today, and I'm not in the least bit worried about going to hell. None. Well, you think you've done enough? No, Jesus did. I know He did. You see what I mean? I know He did. That's the object of my trust. That's the object of my faith. I don't least bit wonder whether I'm saved or not because I know that I have everything that was needed in order to save me in Christ. He completed the task. The work has already been done. All is needed. It's for you to repent and receive it. That's all that's needed. It's already been done. After all, were you going to pull a gift out from underneath the Christmas tree and say, I'll cut the grass all summer for this. It's not needed. It's already been paid for. It's already been worked for. All that's left for you to do is what? Does anybody know? Receive it. Receive it. Number three. It was used when an artist would finish a picture. See, an artist is, I like to watch that fellow on TV make those pictures. He would draw the prettiest pictures in the world and then draw a tree up through the middle of it. I go, oh, don't do that. And then he'll draw it and he'll. Y'all know the guy that I'm talking about. He's passed away. But boy, I love to watch him draw a picture. I think he's real kind and I love to watch him draw a picture. Greatest artist ever was is our God. And in the Old Testament, he'd been drawing a picture for years. And he'd been drawing pictures of the coming sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And whenever an artist, and I was using this a little while ago, whenever an artist would be working on a picture, they might be working for days, and then when they was done, they would say, Tetelestai. It's finished. It's completed. That's what he'd say. That's what an artist would say when they would finish a picture. The Father's drawing a picture of Christ's sacrificial death in the Old Testament. You know, he's drawing a picture from all those sacrifices. We all realize this morning they offered animal sacrifice. They offered lambs, bulls, goats. All of these, you know, we didn't come this morning and we didn't have a fire burning, and I never offered an offering today. You know why that is? It's finished. It's complete. Those sacrifices, the entire Old Testament ceremonial law, was a picture of what Jesus would do on the cross of Calvary. And what I've done in this study today, and I've done this in the past, as I mentioned to you in the past, the Day of Atonement. And you can read about the Day of Atonement in the book of Leviticus chapter 16. It is a great picture of the coming atonement of Jesus Christ. And in the Day of Atonement, what they would do is, if you got a calendar, it shows it. If you look back at October the 13th, that was Yom Kippur. That's the Day of Atonement. And the children, that was given in the book of Leviticus chapter 16 to the nation of Israel. They were to do that every year. In the fall time of the year, they had a set date, a set time that this Day of Atonement was carried forth. And what happened on the Day of Atonement is the high priest, everybody say high priest. High priest, the high priest of Israel would go and he would make an atonement for the sins of the people for that year. So what he'd do? He'd make an atonement for their sins. I tell you what, you couldn't understand Jesus being called our high priest if you never understood the Day of Atonement. You know why Jesus is called our high priest? Because he made the atonement for your sins. On the Day of Atonement, what would happen is the high priest would take the blood of a bull, which was for his sin. Our high priest had no sin. But he would take the blood of a bull, and he'd take the blood of a goat. And he would kill both these animals. He'd put it in a bowl, and he would go into the Holy of Holies. And we have a model. See how these stick now? I'm not going to say who done that, because she told me she'd kill me if I did. But the tabernacle was a building that consisted of two compartments. You had the holy place. The priests would go in here. Of course, there was a table that had showbread on it. There was a lampstand. This actually, the tabernacle was designed, if you read the book of Revelation, it's designed after heaven, and it's designed to show the way to God. That's the purpose of it. And that's another sermon. This second apartment was called the Holy of Holies. And in this second department is where God lived then in Israel. Make me a tabernacle, he said, that I may dwell among you. And this was recognized as being where God lived then in Israel. And you'll notice before this second compartment, there was a thick set of curtains called the what? It's called the veil. And what happened is only one time every year, the high priest would go in here on the Day of Atonement on Yom Kippur with the blood of a bull for his sin and the blood of a goat for the people's sin. And he had sprinkled that once upon the mercy seat and seven times before. Now, this is not a detailed study of the Day of Atonement. I'm just mentioning it. Just briefly mention what he did. Well, anyway, the shedding of that blood of that bull and goat made an atonement for their sins for that year. Now, what about this veil? What did it do? It remained closed. Till the next year, and then the high priest went in there again. But it remained closed after. See, those atonement was never done. And you know what, Brother Coy? God was painting a picture there. Man, if you're going to come into my presence, you've got to go through the blood. And this is going to picture what my son's going to do. So he's painting all of this picture, all down through the Old Testament times, all down right into the New Testament days whenever he was come. And then the sweet King of Israel, the Lord Jesus, our high priest, he went to the cross and he shed his blood from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then at 3 o'clock, he said, Telestai. It's finished. No more sacrifice. You know, the great text in Daniel 9, which everybody applies to the Antichrist, and I'm not getting off that subject. One of the things the Messiah would do is cause the sacrifices to cease. in the eyes of the Heavenly Father, those sacrifices seen their fulfillment and were brought to an end whenever sweet King, the Lord Jesus, fulfilled them on the cross. No more sacrifices. The artist finished the picture and he said, Telestai. It's finished. You know what? Not only did the King say that, but you know what the Father did the moment that He died? Does anybody remember? Mary talked about this veil earlier. Man, He ripped this veil. Jesus said, it is finished. Telestai. He's brought all the entire sacrifice system to a close in His eyes. They continued to do so. And then the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. But we don't do so today, do we? Why don't we offer sacrifices? It's finished. The picture's done being fulfilled. We don't do it anymore. And to put an explanation to that point, the Father took the veil and He rent it from the top to the bottom. You know what that meant? No more atonements. That's it. He brought it to an end. He accomplished what all it pictured. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's why He rent the veil. Access to the Father was made to the Son. And the entire sacrifice system was brought to an end. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews now, chapter 9. I'm almost done. Don't get excited. Unless you're excited about the Word. That's something you can be excited about. This is something to cheer about, I guess. People will cheer. Get excited over Polka scoring a touchdown. I'm more excited about the rent veil. I'm more excited about the picture being brought to a conclusion. I'm more excited about the finished work. I'm more excited about the debt being canceled. That's what I'm excited about. That's something to thank God for. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Let me start winding this down. He brought the offering to a close. He brought it all to a close. All that the sacrifice system was brought to a close. Hebrews chapter, let's go ahead. I'm going to give you about several verses here. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 25. Let's read that first. Now yet, as he should often offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, we know what that's talking about. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, at the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, Hebrews chapter 10, notice what it says. Verse 4, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats would take away sin. Those things in the old, do you know, a bull and a goat was offered on the Day of Atonement. They couldn't literally take away sin. What took away their sin? The coming atonement of the Lamb of God. The coming sacrifice of the real high priest. That's what took away sin, not the blood of a bull and a goat. If they could take away sin, we'd still be offering them. They were just a picture. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice. Everybody say one. Say it one more time. One sacrifice for sins. Forever sat down at the right hand of the Father. What's it say he did? After he had offered one sacrifice, what did he do? He sat down. Do you know why he sat down? His work, as far as the atonement is concerned. His work, as far as redemption is concerned. Folks, it's finished. That one offering of Jesus Christ put your sins away. That's why there's no more offerings. The one offering of Jesus Christ, it was an offering that never needed repeated because it was sufficient to take every one of your sins and remove them. One offering. One. You can look up the word one in a concordance and see how many times it's used just in the book of Hebrews. It stresses over and over again. Once offered. Once offered. He entered once into the holy place, the book of Hebrews says, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How long is eternal redemption? Ain't 6 months, is it? When he redeemed you and set you free from the bondage of your sin, it was an eternal redemption. In Hebrews chapter 7, it says He is able to save them to the uttermost. What's it mean to say be saved? It means to be saved completely. Every one of your sins has been washed away. All of them. Cleansed. Put away by that one sacrifice. Does everybody see it? If anybody else asks me this question, I'm going to say it best I can, but if people ask all the time, well, Jeff, you need to understand this, then I'm going to stop, I think. You need to understand this. Very, very important question. People ask me all the time, Jeff, what happens if you sin and then you get killed in a car wreck, but you don't get to confess it? Will you still go to heaven? Oh, my, folks, for crying out loud. How many sins did He paid for the day you trusted Him? He don't even impute to you sin. Romans chapter 4 says, blessed is the man to whom He does not impute sin. He doesn't charge sin to you anymore. For crying out loud, He took all your sin and charged it to Christ. And when He died, they was all future anyway. You'd be surprised the number of preachers tell you, well, if you don't get to confess it, you'll go to hell. You could never guarantee no one's salvation under that theology. Because an evil thought's a sin. And there's sins that you... things that you know you should do and don't do. Those are sins. There's many things that are sins. You can never have rest under that. I listened to a preacher the other day. He's popular, but I ain't going to say his name for, I guess I'm trying to be correct today, I guess. One rare time, is it not? You need to get confessed up so you get caught up. Confessed up! Listen, I'd like for Jesus to come right now. And I wouldn't have to run to a back room somewhere and make sure I was confessed up to know I'd be ready to go. Because I realized the day that I trusted the Messiah as my Savior, He took my sin debt and He paid it in full. And He didn't pay it in half, He paid it in full. Every evil thought, every sin that I ever commit was all charged to Christ the day that I trusted Him. And as far as His law is concerned, it reads, paid in full. Finished. Done. Completed. Accomplished. However you want to say it, it all means that. What about the sins after you're saved? Well, they've all been atoned for. Well, what are you confessing for then? When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you became His what? Somebody tell me. You became His child. You're in a different relationship with God now. You were an enemy before. Now you're His child. Your sins was completely atoned for, Brother Jim, the day that you trusted Him. Now, the reason why you confess your sins after you're saved is you need what is called parental forgiveness for fellowship. Let me use an illustration. I was going to use it with my son, but always embarrassing him, so I'm not going to do it. If you have children and they do that which is wrong against you, does your children ever sin against you? Have they ever broke a command? Have ever did that which displeased you? Have they not done what you told them to do? Is that wrong? Sure it is. Are they not still your children, Brother Rain? Are they not still your child? Boy, I'll tell you what, when they'd sin against me, and boy, I'd weld that belt or hand or whatever I'd weld, my mother would throw the first thing she'd grab a hold of. She threw. Okay? Yeah. And the fellowship, when I was being whipped, the fellowship was what? It affected the fellowship. Now, it never affected the relationship because there's a blood relationship there. I'm still her child. A But you know, when I come in, I say, yeah, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. It's wrong. Come on over here. You see, I didn't become her child there, but it restored the what? Somebody tell me. That's the purpose of confession. For crying out loud, Timmy Bailey, you're not getting them paid for as you go. You could never have no peace or rest under that. I could do your funeral and I could say, well, Timmy's in heaven. If he never missed one. Seriously. I know it sounds funny, but if he never missed one, he's in heaven today. But I can tell you today he's in heaven today. If you've trusted the blood and all your sins is paid for. To the last die. Paid in full. Amen. The servant completed the task. The artist finished the picture. Here's what the Lord says to you today. I want you to listen. I'll stop. Jesus said, come to me. All ye that labor. You're working. Working yourself to death trying to earn heaven. But yet are heavy laden. You still realize you ain't done enough. Feel undone, don't you? You say, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden. And I'll give you what? Rest. The only way you can have rest is by knowing tetelestai. By knowing it's finished. By knowing the servant completed the work. By knowing that the debt's been paid in full. By knowing that the artist has finished the picture. I'm thankful I got rest today. Why are you going to heaven, Jesus? You asked me a year from now. Why are you going to heaven, Jesus? You asked me 10,000 years from now. Why are you here, Jesus? Jesus did it all. Won't you believe in good works? Yeah. To bring glory to God, not to save myself. If you're doing good works to save yourself, you're not bringing no glory to God. You're bringing glory to yourself. Wasn't too fancy of a message, I realize. I don't care about it, but all I want you to do, if you don't get nothing out of this message, is just realize that Jesus did it all. And I'm going to ask you to trust Him today. Trust Him as your Savior. We're going to have a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to ask the Ashley schemes come forward. The Bible says, you can just remain seated. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll save you right there where you sit. Now you see, and the Holy Spirit's produced conviction in your heart. He'll save you if you trust Him. Won't you trust Him? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning for this Bring a Friend service and for the message You gave. And we're thankful for this great word that You gave. It is finished. Tetelestai. Thank You, Lord. For being anyone here today that's lost, may today be a day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.